First John, chapter number 2.
I'm telling you, the more I study on this, the more I think on it, the more I preach on it, I'm convinced God is sending this message to, not just to us and to me, but is sending this because these are Antichrist days, and God wants us to know what's necessary for us to live for Christ, live the Christ life in these days. There's no excuse. He's writing to believers. He's writing to believers. Look in verse number 18. Most of you have heard me read these verses. We'll just read verse number 18. Little children, it is the last time. We should perk our ears up on that. It is the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. A word just stuck out to me there, as many times as I've read it, but it says, as you have heard. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Do you realize a lot of people's never heard what you've heard? No, a lot of people's not been exposed to what you've been exposed to, the truth that you've been exposed to. I'm glad I have heard about Antichrist and Antichrist's ways and days and the spirit of Antichrist and the God of this world and the prince and power of the air. I'm glad I've heard all of that. Praise God for those that preached it, those that taught it. Thank God for those, amen. Thank God for John under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for penning it down so you and I could have a copy. Amen. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. Verse number 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Do you see that? Do you see that? Right there in that verse shows the one behind false doctrine. The one behind false doctrine, specifically in that verse about Jesus, denies his deity, is of Antichrist. He is a liar for one, and he is an Antichrist. All right, look down if you will. Let's read another verse, chapter 4, verse number 3. Chapter 4, verse number 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard, there it is again, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Again, you find the word Antichrist attached to false teaching and false teachers. Amen. It matters where you go to church. It matters who you're listening to and setting your family down underneath. Amen. To be taught and to be preached to, it matters. Amen. You'll never hear me say, go to the church of your choice. I know that was a popular statement by an international evangelist, but I'm not an international evangelist. Are y'all listening? I'll never tell you to go to the church of your choice. And that could mean if you wanted to go to a Mormon church or a Jehovah's Witness or a Catholic church or whatever else, just as long as you choose it. Brother, that ain't right. That ain't right. Anyway, let's look there again in that verse. In chapter number 4, verse number 3, and every spirit, listen to this, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. And if y'all will help me, I don't know if, well, you don't know what I'm thinking, so you can't help me on that. Most people don't know what I'm thinking. I'm going to leave that until I deal with it in a few minutes. I was going to go ahead and deal with it. Lord, help me to remember. All right, let's go back to chapter number 2. Verse number 18, we've been dealing with living for Christ, or rather living the Christ life in Antichrist days. Do you think that's God's will? Do you think God wants us to do that? Do you think there's plenty of resources in the Holy Spirit for us to be able to do that. If it's not that way, if that's not the case, then every generation could blame their circumstances and the condition of the day they lived in as to why they did not serve God. Amen. Amen, that's right. But if the Old Testament patriarchs could serve God and live for God and walk with God and be a friend of God, even in difficult days, even in demonic days, wicked days, Enoch walked with God and did so 300 years, and that were days prior to the flood. He didn't have a Bible to go off of. He didn't have a great big lineage of Christians and giants for God that he could draw strength from. He didn't have any books that people had written on how to live the Christian life and 10 steps to victory and 4 steps to revival and all of that. So he didn't have none of that, but he knew God. And there was an inner, see, that's it right there. There's an inner connection between you when you get saved. There's an inner connection with you and God, not you and the world, not you and the external, but you and God. That's why that you personally can live for God and walk with God and have fellowship with God and have a relationship with God is because you have been given the earnest of our inheritance. The Spirit of God, amen, dwells on the inside of you, and that's our connection. That's our connection with God. Amen. That's God's connection to us. It don't matter if you live on Beach Creek even. Thank God you can have fellowship with God, Brother Aaron. It don't matter, amen. It don't matter. Listen, if you're like Paul and be in a prison, be in a jail, you can still have fellowship and still have communion with God. Why? Because there's an inner connection, amen. This Antichrist stuff is all external. Thank God I know the Christ on the inside. I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I felt something right there. I felt like God scotching me up right there to let me know I've got what I need. You ought to say, if you're saved today, you ought to say, I got what I need. I got all I need. I got all I need. Amen. All things that pertain to life and godliness, I already have it. Amen. I don't have to wait for things to smooth out. I don't have to wait and see, amen, what Biden does. And he don't even know what he's going to do. Amen. We don't have to wait and see to see what anybody else is doing or not doing. Amen. Or who wins the Congress seats or the whatever's coming up in 2022. I don't have to wait. I've already got a connection with God. I just need to make sure we're back to your battery thing this morning. Amen. He bought a brand new battery, put it on lawnmower, and it wouldn't crank. I'd like to have been going by right there. I could probably bought a good John Deere tractor, probably for about $5. Are y'all listening? And come to find out, wasn't nothing wrong with the lawnmower or the battery. He forgot to connect the lights to the power. There was disconnect. Amen. Listen, I don't have to wait on you to get hooked up. I've got a connection. Amen. Now, I'm talking about me personally. When it comes down to personal Christianity, I don't have to wait on you. However, how you live, whatever you do, amen, if you falter, flop, walk away, run off, amen, get carnal, world, whatever, I can still move on. I can still press on. Amen. No matter how you're treated, no matter how I'm treated, it doesn't matter. I can still press on. Why? My spirituality is not the resource. Amen. Hey, the resource of my spirituality doesn't come from this direction. It comes from this direction. Amen. We don't have the time, but Brother Henry, I could ask you to go outside and look up. And here's the question I'd like to ask Brother Henry. Why looking up? How many people is between you and what you're looking up at? Oh, really? There's nobody, but nobody up that way? Then what's my excuse? I have none. But now when my eyes goes from that vertical direction to horizontal direction, there's a lot of people that can easily get in my path of sight. Amen. Thank God. Amen. God wants me to live the Christ life in Antichrist days. Antichrist is an opponent of the Messiah. An Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, the Antichrist. Boy, I've been working on a message. Of course, I won't preach it here anytime soon far as I know. But I am making a parallel between the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist. Because everything the Antichrist is or will be is being funneled through the spirit of Antichrist. Just like everything God is being funneled through the spirit of God. The Spirit of God bears the same characteristics as God. The spirit of Antichrist that can influence us, not possess us, but influence us, is wanting to convey and impart into you and me the same features of the Antichrist. Guess what one of them is? I might as well just give you. Guess what one of them is? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Who opposeth and exalteth himself against all that is called God. Wow. The spirit of Antichrist is all about you exalting yourself. But anyway, that's not where we're at right now though. We're preaching out of 1 John chapter 2. But I believe God wants us to live for Christ. I believe sinners are wanting to, listen, I saw it in young people this week. I saw it. That last one I told you I talked to, but he didn't move. Noah is another Noah. That made three. Boy, wouldn't that have been a good testimony? Something to journal? Three Noahs got saved. Maybe God's fixing to build an ark. But anyway, I talked to him. I mean, he's searching. In fact, he approached me. I was in my car, and he was walking by, and I had my window down because Brother Samuel was down there, and I was speaking to Brother Samuel, and he walked by, and he said, "Preacher Rackley," and I said, "Yes, sir." And I never talked to him before. And he introduced himself, and it wasn't just a second. I knew that I was supposed to be talking to this man. Here he is, 20 or 21, right in that bracket, and he's just miserable. Absolutely miserable. Amen. And I told him, I said, listen, God's got big plans for you. How many in here I've told that to? I want you to raise your hand. How many? Look, what? You mean it? Every one of these young people just about it. I have told you at some place in your life that God's got big plans for you. You know, I don't have to guess at that. I don't have to wonder, was that just a cliche, a phrase, or was that just something? No, God's got plans for you. The devil also does. Amen? Amen. Don't live the Antichrist life. Don't let the Antichrist influence you. The spirit of Antichrist is in this world. It's in this world in the last time. It's going to be manifested in levels that we've never seen before. Because it's getting ready. The spirit of Antichrist is prepping the scene for the appearance of the Antichrist. Amen. Amen. God's people needs to have a connection and have a commitment to live for the Lord in these days. But anyway, I'm not going to go through all the lists that we've already covered. I would just mention it. We covered in verse number 1 that we need to be right with the servant of God. We need to be right also with our right relationship to salvation. Right relationship to the servant. Right relationship to salvation. Right relationship to sanctification. In verse number 1, 2, sanctification, we need to be right concerning the Scriptures. The Scriptures, starting in verse number 3, identifying the commandments of God. And by the way, the commandments of God are not the sketches of God. It's not the suggestions of God. When God gives a commandment, there is the expectation on God's part that it will be heard and heeded. So we need to be right concerning the Scriptures. Can you see that? I mean, is that simple? That's right there. If we're going to live for Christ in the Antichrist days, in these last times, we need to be right with these areas. Okay? So we need to be right with the Scriptures. And then I think one of the last ones we dealt with was we need to be right with the saints, starting in verse number 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. We need to have a right relationship with the saints of God. Have a relationship with other people, but be so independent in doing so that if they quit, you keep on. Don't be so connected and be so close to someone that if they, for whatever reason, get out of God's will, they suck you out with them. You have to watch that. Be careful with that. I've seen that. I've seen that happen. Amen? Amen. That's right. And so anyway, you need to be right with the saints of God. Be right with the saints of God. And then we started on last Sunday morning, I guess it was, we started out talking about we need to be right concerning separation. Concerning separation, and we're looking at verse number 15. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Notice this. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. If you want to be involved in eternal, forever practice, then do the will of God. If you want to be involved with something that's going to fade and fizzle and pass away, then live for this world. Because the world's going to pass away. The world is going to pass away. Amen. Amen. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we're talking about now a right relationship with separation. Amen. I mean, that makes good sense right there. Amen. If birds of a feather flock together and everybody's shooting at that flock, I think I need to go a different direction. Don't you? I think I need to go a different direction. The world here in this passage is not referring to the natural world, far as birds and rivers and trees and clouds and blue sky. It's not telling us that we're not to love this great creation that God has allowed us to live in. It's not talking about the natural world. It's not even talking about the world of men. He's not talking that we're not to love men. We're not to love people. But what he's talking about is there is a system that is identified as the world. And it's a system that's governed by the God of this world, the prince and power of the air. And I was thinking about how to illustrate that this morning to help us get a hold of it. And the Lord gave me this morning. When you think about a cage that's full of lions, that's as good as I could come up with. A cage that's full of lions. I'm not telling you to watch out for the cage. Be wary of the cage. Be leery of the cage. The cage doesn't hurt you. It's what's in that cage that's dangerous and that will hurt you and kill you even. Amen. This world is like that cage. Amen. We're not to be afraid of this world. We're to be afraid of what's in it. We're to be afraid of the what's in it. Amen. 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 That's right. Oh, goodness. Help us, Lord. I know sometimes people hear me preach and other people preach about separation from the world, and they're thinking, well, I need to quit going fishing and going on vacation, and I need to build me a one-room house and paint inside and out black and not have no windows in it and just completely pull myself and shut myself off from the world. That's isolation. That's never been the will of God. You'll never show me in the Bible where God said to isolate yourself, but he does say to separate yourself. Amen. Are y'all listening? It's not the world that I'm to be afraid of. It's what's in it. Well, what's in it? The spirit of Antichrist is in this world. There are many Antichrists in this world. There's false teaching in this world. There's false doctrine in this world. There's false brethren in this world. There's false prophets in this world. Amen. You can't believe everything you hear. You can't believe everything you see. Amen. Some things are very deceiving. Some things are very deceiving. You can listen to a false prophet, and he may be smooth-tongued. He may be gifted in speaking, and he'll sway you. Amen. He'll sway you. Amen. God wants us to be separated from this world. Amen. Amen. And as I mentioned maybe last Sunday, that separation has got a double side to it. It's not just separation from the world. Amen. It's not just separation from the world, but it's separating from the world unto God. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he told those believers in chapter 1 that you have turned from idols unto God to serve the living God. Amen. The true and the living God. Amen. It's not just the from stuff. That's what I get accused of preaching. And I've never preached that. I've never preached a one-sided, lopsided view of separation. I've never, amen. Separation to get you from something is to get you something into something bigger. God wants you to separate yourself so that there'll be room in your more room in your life for Him. Amen. That's exactly right. And you know, you shouldn't have to wait on the preacher to preach on something. Before you deal with it, you ought to ask yourself, is this helping me or hurting me? You know, I believe this. I believe this, according to Hebrews chapter 12, that there is definitely sin that are besetting us. There's no doubt about that. There is sin that is besetting us. Besetting us as a runner, encumbrance, causing us to run with weights and hindrances. But it didn't just say sin. Lay aside the sin. Or the weights and the sin. Some things we need to deal with, not because it's a sin. We need to deal with it, Brother Craig, because it's a weight. It's a hindering me from full potential. It's in the way of full progress. And in this hour, listen to me. In this hour, when we're nearing the finish line, speed is important. I've never said that before, ever. If speed is not important, then slow is okay. Amen? And that might be fine at other places and other stages in the journey, but we're rounding the corner. And I remember, Brother Carroll, from my poor excuse of an athlete of running track in my high school days. Pitiful excuse. But I do know that when you round that last curve, that they tell you to do something that I never did find out if I had. They said that's the time that you're supposed to kick it. You're supposed to reach down and get another gear and finish that last stretch to the finish line. You're not looking at fellow runners. You're not looking back about all the curves and all the hills and all the hard times. You're looking at the finish line. This thing's about over. Speed matters. And if speed matters, then weights matter. Lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset us. Amen. Amen. If it's a sin, and it's in the Bible, listen, if it's in the Bible, it's a sin, guess what? You don't have no choice. But if it's a weight, and there's not a Bible verse on it, you can deal with it or not deal with it. Amen. We've gotten this in our mind that maybe I'm not really under conviction about that. Show me that in the Bible. I know if it's sin, listen, you'll be convicted of it. And by the way, if it's in the Bible, you don't need to be convicted of it. Well, the Bible says thou shalt not kill, but pray for me. Here's my prayer request. I'm praying that I don't kill somebody this week. What? There's no need of praying about that. It's in the Bible. Thou shalt not steal. Well, I'm, you know, kind of contemplating robbing a bank. This is all paraphrased on you and live stream. You know how they can chop stuff up and edit it and make Preacher Rackley, he's going to kill somebody and rob a bank both this week. Lord, help us. Amen? Are y'all listening? But what about those weights? That's when you look at your own life. You know yourself. You know yourself. You know. Listen, you know if you could be doing better. You know if you could be further down the path. You know that your pace could be taken to a little bit faster pace. Amen. 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 That's right. Don't get used to running with the slow ones. If you're a lot faster and you don't take as much out of you to run with the slow ones, guess what? You can finish, you'll cross the same finish line, but God's going to ask you, why didn't you do your best? You found those that you could back away and you could slow down and you could run with them. Amen. Or you could go to that church or this church or whatever and you could run with the slow, amen, the slow spiritual ones I'm talking about. They're not interested in speed. They're not interested in advancement. They're not interested in progress. But then when you cross the finish line and you meet the captain, and you meet the judge, the Bema seat judge, the judgment seat, the one that's sitting on the judgment seat, and that's an elevated platform. Listen, that's an elevated platform to where that judge can look and watch every runner, every step of the race. And if you cut a corner, guess who's going to see it? Fellow runners may not see it. In fact, they may be the ones that cutting corners too. You may have cut a corner because you was running around with somebody that was cutting corners. Oh my. Amen. If you're going to be a champion, hang around those that are champions. Hang around those that have a champion view, a champion mind, a champion heart. Amen. A champion drive. Yes. You can't fool around with Looney Tunes. Amen. Amen. You can't hang around with a bunch of cartoon character Christians and expect to be a champion for God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why David was a giant killer. He didn't hang around his brothers much. Are y'all listening? Amen. Does speed matter? Does progress matter? We're in the last leg of the journey. We're in the home stretch. Give it all you got. You say, but I'm tired. Yeah, but you can rest after you cross the finish line. You say, preacher, I'm weary with all of the pressure and with all that's going on, and the race has worn me out. Some of those uphills and some of those sharp turns, oh my goodness, is wearing and taxing me and fatiguing me. And oh, preacher, I'm so tired. If you're not careful, you'll fall down in sight of the finish line. Boy, I'd hate to fall down and think, oh, I need a break. Oh my goodness, I need a break. This thing's wearing me out. Oh my goodness, churches is wearing me out. Christians are wearing me out. Pressure's wearing me out. Oh my. And then I sat down. And just right up there was the finish line. Help us, Lord. I know. Listen. I know a lot of preachers and a lot of churches, they don't even know that 1 John 2:15 is in the Bible. They don't. Not only do they not know it's in the Bible, you'll never hear them preach it. You might hear them quote it, but they'll not expound it. Because if they expound it, it's going to expose them. Amen. And I promise you, if the God of this world is the Antichrist and the prince of power of the air, the devil and all of that, if that's the case, then if I'm friendly with the world, then I'm friendly with him. Amen. Think about it. If the spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of this world, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12 talks about the spirit of this world. This world has a spirit. It's not the trees and the animal and all of that that we talked about earlier. There's a spirit in this world. There's a spirit that you can't see. That's what makes it so dangerous, is that you've got to have spiritual discernment. You've got to be, close to God to identify that, what I'm thinking, my attitude, that's not God. I can't be possessed, Brother Jeremiah. Not by another spirit. I've already got a Holy Spirit. I've got the Holy Spirit. But the spirit of Antichrist can influence how I think. The spirit of Antichrist can influence my attitude. Amen. Amen. It's amazing how the spirit of Antichrist is a spirit and I can't see him, but he sure influences how I see. He sure influences what I look at. And you know what he's wanting you to look at? You know what he's wanting you to look at? He's wanting you to look at this world. He's wanting you to get hooked up with the nasty now and now and not think about around the curve and just a few more steps, just a few more hours. We'll be crossing the finish line and we'll ever be with the Lord. Oh my, and we'll face the race run at the judgment seat. We won't think about that. Amen. So it really, really, whatever condition you're in or I'm in is coming either from the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Antichrist, whose total nature from the start has been to oppose God. Well, glory, hallelujah. Speed matters. I think it's time to pick up the pace. Time to pick up the pace. But you know what? Listen, you know what's necessary? Again, I hate to refer back to my pathetic excuse of an illustration of running track. But you know what matters? Is being the right condition. Amen. I talked to a preacher 2 weeks ago. I talked to him. He'd run some of those Spartan races. I said, are you crazy? That's when you crawl, ain't that where you crawl through mud and all, over walls and all that kind of stuff? Look like you've been through the tribulation period when you get done. He said, you know what, preacher? He said, I ran that thing and it was, I forgot how many miles it was. And it was obstacles and hard uphill, steep incline and declined. And he said, I ran that, preacher, and it didn't faze me. He said, you know why? I was in shape. I got in shape. He's not in shape now, but he said, I got in shape. That's what he told me. He said, I can't even run to the mailbox now. Are y'all listening? Your condition is something you need to focus on. Amen. Because running may be the only way in the future that you can escape what you need to escape. I mean, think about that. I think that's good to be applying physically. I think we need to be focusing on some physical things because there may be a time that me outrunning something is going to be for my benefit. Say amen right there. Me outrunning you might be the benefit for me. Somebody said if a bear comes, I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you. Amen. We need to focus on our physical condition. We need to focus on our mental condition. We need, listen, be able to think quick. Be able to think real quickly. We need to have a good mind. We need to have our mind in a decent shape. Amen? That's right, because sometimes the decisions you need to make are spur of the moment. I pray about it often. I really do. I pray about my reflexes often. Because you never know when you're in a traffic situation and without thinking you need to react. Boom. Or turn or brake or whatever. Amen. We need to, is that not something? I don't have a verse of scripture on that. But I think it's good to pray about our reaction. How quickly we can respond. Amen. We need to be praying about these things. Brother, we're fixing to go. Listen, we're headed into warfare that we've never been in before. The devil's going to be bringing out the big guns. Sure is your name is what it is. I think we need to be praying about a lot of things. Lord, give me wisdom. I've been praying about that too. Lord, give me wisdom that if I get confronted, if I get challenged on a situation, that I would know what to say, that I'd have the right answer. I've been praying about that. Amen. Lord, help us. Amen. I've been praying, Lord, protect our church. Protect our church. Amen. Protect. I know we locked the doors, but we need something stronger than that. Protect our church. I don't want nobody to come in here and cause problems and have to be taken out or they'll try to take us out. I've been praying about those things. Lord, help me to know in the spur of the moment how to aim. I mean, how to respond. I don't think we ought to wait till a situation arises and then start thinking, okay, now what would I do if this scenario happens? What would I do? I'm going to the car, preacher, pray for it. I'll pray for you. Yeah, that's about the way it goes, amen. But love not the world. I didn't mean to get hung up like that, but it's all right. Love not the world. Just it's worth repeating that it was not written to sinners. It was written to those identified as little children, and that's not talking about biological or aged children. That's talking about believers, people that has been born again. And he's writing to us. Why? So that you and I can know what to think. We can know what to do, how to react, how to respond, how to prepare ourselves. You young people, listen, I know you're young and you got your careers all in your mind and in your school grades and all that stuff going on. But I'm telling you, you're in the same world we are in. You're facing the same things we are. And God is wanting you to know at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, right on down the list. God is wanting you to know how that you personally can live for Jesus in Antichrist days. My goodness. Oh, Lord, help us. Someone said it this way, in order to follow Jesus, you're going to have to unfollow the world. That's a good statement, isn't it? I believe, if I'm not mistaken, last Sunday, I believe we covered the reason why we should be separated from the world is, number one, because of the God and nature of this world. And we read several scriptures on that. I think we also covered number two. You correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we also covered number two, the reason why we should be separate from the world and have the right relationship to this world is because of the world's hatred for Jesus Christ. And I believe we read several scriptures on that when Jesus told his disciples, "The world hated me before it hated you." Amen. If there's anything that should cause you to want to abstain and be separate from this world, is because this world and its system, the system of this world, hates Jesus Christ. Why would I want to be a friend to somebody that's an enemy to someone that loves me and I love? I wouldn't hesitate one second. That if somebody was an enemy of my wife, I dare say I would be going out to eat with them. Right or wrong, spiritual or carnal, whatever you want to call it. I doubt very seriously I'd be interested in being friendly or a friend to someone that hates my wife. Not just hates her, but wants do harm. Would you? You draw the line, you say, hey, you don't like, they love me, I love them. You don't like them, out. You're not a part of my life. You're not a part of my life. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. I watched my mom and dad, and y'all, I've told you this before, and I'm not going into a lot of detail, but I watched my mom and dad in that revival I got saved in take a strong stand against relatives, and I'm talking close relatives. You know why they took a bold stand? They sided with God's man. Amen. And you know what they said? Mom and dad, listen, I'm talking about brothers and sisters and mama. In one case, it was my mama. But I watched mom and dad side with God's man because God's man was in the Word. And there was no error in the Word as far as the man of God was concerned in his leadership. And they stood with God's man. Did it have an effect on our Thanksgiving reunions and our family reunion? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Friction. We was there, but that was it. We was over here, and they was over there. Friction. Amen. But basically what that was mom and dad said, look, we love our man of God. He loves us. He's preaching the truth. Amen. He's preaching the truth to our family, and we're going to side with him. You're against him, then count us out. Count us out. That's right. You think somebody going to dog RBT and I'm going to go out to eat with them and buddy-buddy with them? Negative, friend. Negative. That's right. I'm not telling you to do that unless you just want to. I'm not talking about have a demonic spirit about you. I'm just talking about, look, I'm sorry. Hey, we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. But when you start talking about my preacher, we're out. We're done. You're going to hear the dial tone. Because I'm not hearing it. I'm not hearing it. That right there put the quietness on a lot of gossip, wouldn't it? Amen. Well, how did I get there? It had something to do with that John Deere tractor illustration, I think. And I'll just mention this one. I'm not going to preach it. Not tonight, not this morning, and I'm probably not going to tonight, but because I really want to bog in on this one. I should have a right relationship to this world in the realm of separation. Because the effects this world has on sinners. Amen. There's no telling how many people in hell that God dealt with about being saved, and they turned it away. They rejected it. Why? Because they had already got a taste of this world. They'd already got handfuls of this world. They already felt some of the pleasures of this world. They probably had a few pats on the back and already started noticing the popularity aspect of this world. And they turned the gospel away and went with the world. The world's effect on sinners. I want to deal with that in another service, if the Lord will help me. And then follow up with that, I need to have a right relationship with the world because of the effects that it's having on the saints. Amen. I know some people think, well, preach, you preaching on separation. You're just going to mention a couple of things, you know, how you dress and the music and maybe another thing or two. But I want to tell you, separate from the world is a big subject. It's a big subject. And it's in the Bible, friend. It's in the Bible. And so we're going to deal with that if the Lord will help us. Amen. And then we'll deal the last one on that when we get to it. We're going to deal with the fact that we need to have a right relationship with the world because this world is temporary. We shouldn't want to have a big relationship with the world when there's going to be a separation between me and the world. Why would I want to be, Miss Stacy, why would I want to be just really, really close to this world when in the future, at the rapture or at death, boom, there's going to be a massive eternal separation from this world. So why not have it now? Amen.